This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. In New York City next week, the Museum of Modern Art will unveil a huge retrospective of the career of sculptor Richard Serra. And when I say huge, I mean it in every sense. Serra's pieces are massive, 12-foot-tall steel walls that curve and lean to form these fascinating spaces you can actually enter and walk around. Literally awesome. But Serra's work has not always been popular with the public. Back in 1981, he put up a 120-foot-long steel wall in front of a government building in Manhattan called Tilted Arc. The art world loved it, but a lot of the people who worked inside and around the building complained that it was hard to get around and that the thing looked kind of threatening. The office workers won out, and Tilted Arc was cut apart and removed. Serra's work has only gotten more ambitious and in-your-face since then, but also a lot more inviting. I met him last week as he was just finishing the installation of his new show at the Museum of Modern Art. He told me about his experience with steel as a teenager in the 1950s, working in a steel mill in San Francisco.
Well, I mean, if I think about my generation, that's what kids did. Kids worked during the summers. Like Phil Glass was a close friend of mine. He worked steel mills. Carl Andre worked railroads. Robert Morris worked stockyards. So it wasn't out of the ordinary for kids to work blue-collar work. It doesn't seem to be the case now.
Your mother was important as you were starting out as an artist?
I don't know if you know anything about Jewish mothers, but they're very important. And she was very, very insistent right away that I think in the third grade I had a teacher who pulled my mother into class, and they had all of my drawings up around the room. She called my mother in and pointed it out, and she said, you should start taking this child to museums to encourage what he's already doing. And so my mother totally got on to the program and started taking me to museums very early and introducing me as Richard the Artist.
Richard Serra made his mama proud. He went on to art school at Yale in the early 60s, but after Serra got his master's degree, he rebelled.
I just wanted to get rid of my education, and I wanted to do something other than make art the way that I had been taught to make art, and I wanted to forget about the conventions of art.
And this is in the early 1960s?
Yeah, but there was a warehouse emptying out rubber, and so I phoned the CEO and asked him, could I take it? And he said, as much as you can haul away, you can have. To me, it was like given a grant of material. If you make something in rubber, if you make something in lead, or if you make something in cement, or you make something in steel, if you make it exactly the same way, it has a different readout, it has a different psychological hit, and I really wanted to involve myself with the nature of materials. So what I did is I wrote down a verb list, to cut, to fold, to roll, to dapple, to twist, to twine, to curve, to bend, and I just decided to enact the verbs in relation to matter. So I took lead and rubber and whatever, and one of the first things we did, we took a roll of lead, bought a big 35-foot roll of lead, unrolled it, and rolled it back up. You think, well, hey, you know, it doesn't look like much. But you have to really scratch your head and say, does it or doesn't it, right? And I wasn't sure. But then I took a piece of rubber that was about 4 feet wide, 12 feet long, took it on its edge, in its center edge, and lifted it up. And what happened is it formed a continuous kind of topological form. And I thought, oh, geez, it's freestanding. I thought, that's interesting. And it has a volume like sculpture. You know, you do these things and you think, you know, lay it back down, do something else. And I had that one up long enough to come back to it day after day to think, well, I could put my name on this one, right? So if you ask me how I got into sculpture, I got into sculpture through defining procedures for myself in relation to material and what I could do with it in relation to physical process.
We think of your work now in terms of the huge monumental pieces you've done for the last dozen years, but this show includes a lot of your early work as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm putting up right now.
Like your piece that's called One Ton Prop. Describe that.
It's four plates about, you know, 250 pounds, 300 pounds each, tilted like a house of cards so that the corners overlap as they go around, and the compression holds them tectonically in balance.
In other words, One Ton Prop isn't welded or bolted together at all. So it does have a psychological tension to it, but Serra says he wasn't going at all for any fear factor.
No, my intention was really to get to the basic tectonics of building. What's the simplest way to build in terms of balance?
And so after you successfully finished this one-ton prop piece? Did you think, God, I can do 10-ton pieces. I can do 100-ton pieces.
No. Work comes out of work. You just make one thing, and it leads you to a problem, and you work on a series of problems. And often the solution to one idea leads to a different idea. So, you know, I don't have some grandiose idea about using heavy tonnage of steel. In fact, from going lead to steel was another convention I had to swallow and decide that I would take on. And I thought, well, if I'm going to use steel, I'm going to use it the way I was raised, the way I knew.
Sarah's works made out of steel started big and got bigger, much bigger. When the Museum of Modern Art went through a major renovation a few years ago, they designed a space on the second floor specifically with his works in mind. It is vast. There are no columns at all, and the floor is specially reinforced to take the weight.
We got probably 400 or 500 tons in here. And
400 or 500 tons.
Well, I don't want to go into exact number.
But a million pounds of steel.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, people get carried away when you just say that. Yeah. But there's a lot of weight in here. Yeah. On the other hand, the pieces look weightless. I mean, you don't sense the weight. That's not what they're about, actually.
Yeah.
Is walk here.
We squeeze through the narrow entrance into Sarah's piece that he calls Sequence. It is 13 feet high, and from inside, you have no clear idea of the shape you're in.
It's a beautiful space to walk through, I think.
It's a passage between two steel plates that twist and curve like a maze. It bends to the left and gracefully to the right, and I find myself staring up at the walls, which swerve together and then part again.
Well, what is this rust-colored coating on the steel?
It's just rust.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why it's rust-colored, I guess.
Finally, we arrive in a small steel rotunda.
This is fantastic.
Thank you. Basically, you walk from one ellipse to the other through a spiraling section, almost like a big serpentine curve that leans outward and inward and reverses itself as you walk. So there's a point, I don't know if you noticed in the middle there, where you actually change directions.
Uh-huh.
And you think you were going one way, then you come back the other way.
No, it's an experience like being inside geometry that one has never, ever had. It's like a playground in heaven or something, you know?
There was a computer game guy in here the other day from Los Angeles, and he said, oh, you're doing what I'm doing. But fine, it's okay. Because he's very interested in the changing of fluid spaces in a continuum. There's something else that's different about it, too, is that the content and the subject matter is your experience, not the depicted object or the representation.
It's just the individual human being conscious of being in this space.
Yeah, this is your experience unmediated in relation to your walking. You don't have to know anything about anything. Yeah. You don't have to know about sculpture. You don't have to know about anything. And in fact, that you don't know anything about sculpture is probably better.
Well, I've seen children walking around your works, and that, talk about unmediated joy that children
have. That's
right.
Kids get it immediately.
Yeah.
And what's nice about that is that kids will grow up with the notion that that is sculpture.
Creating a piece like this takes months and months. Sarah's big works are made in sections at a factory in Germany and put together there to make sure they fit precisely as he intends. Then it's all broken back down and shipped across the Atlantic.
Tell me the process of how are these giant tonnages of steel.
Well, if you go to 54th Street, you'll see we built a platform that's two stories high, made with cargo car crates underneath with I-beams. It's kind of like urban architecture. Then we put steel plate on top, and then we brought in about how many ever plates there are, 20, 25 plates, into the parking lot, set a crane there, lifted the plates individually onto the top of the platform. We then put them on sleds, tied them down with skates underneath, pulled them in, then put two gantry tracks up with an overhead gantry crane, and then set them.
So you've been doing this for a month?
Yeah. It's tiring.
Does it give you pleasure just to have this sense of having kind of moved so much sheer mass into the middle of New York City and set it up? I mean, there'd be a kind of godlike pleasure if it were me.
When you're doing it, it's not godlike pleasure. It's a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
It's a lot of anxiety about just pulling it together and getting it right and to make it look effortless. So the fact that you know about the platform outside and you know about the crane and the gantry and the effort and the labor and the tonnage, that's all well and good. But basically what you want the content to be is the experience that is afforded by people walking into and through and around.
Richard Serra and I stepped out into the museum's garden to see another of his works called Torqued Ellipses.
Here's one I'll show you over here. This is one of the very first torqued ellipses. The steel has really been stretched like a band. I mean, you really sense the tensile strength of the steel as it moves around.
This one feels like it might have been inspired by some kind of seashell. How do you like your work outside as opposed to inside?
I like it a lot. I like the sky coming in. I like the light. I like the ambience. In fact, I probably would like the pieces upstairs to be...
Outside?
I think the upstairs is all right, but it's a little manicured.
Yeah. There's a religious hush up there.
Yeah.
If someone were to say to you, well, those pieces are beautiful, his early work, well, it wasn't beautiful. What's your reaction to that idea?
To each his own.
So when they say you got to take Until the Dark out of Lower Manhattan, that's your bad review, and then when you get the good reviews at the opposite end, you say?
The same people who didn't like this one now like that one,
yeah.
So what do I think of them?
Yeah.
If you had asked me in the early 90s whether my work had any chance of having any reception in any large venues...
Long shot.
Oh, yeah. But that didn't stop me from being interested in what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say, ain't gonna happen.
Well, it has happened for Richard Serra, way beyond his wildest dreams. The retrospective of his work opens next week at the Museum of Modern Art, and you can see pictures of some of his sculptures at studio360.org. Sarah Lilly produced our interview.